I'm here at MCM Comic Con. That's the first time the Rollies podcast is attending the event. I came here very early, and until I saw you, I saw more cosplay of Dad's Army than Critical Role. Could you introduce yourself and the character you are inhabiting today?
I am Bo from Critical Role. She's a pretty cool monk character, so I decided to do her cosplay, and for the first time I have a group of people with me that I actually wanted to do some stuff. We're going to all be proper dressed up tomorrow, but I figured I was going to do it all days because I could. I've seen a few Molly Mocks about as well.
Are you from London?
No. I am originally from Denmark myself, but we live up in Dumfries at the moment.
Is it the first time you're attending MCM Comic Con?
First one in London. I've been to a few in Glasgow.
I think it's the first time Critical Role is coming.
It's the first time they're coming out of the US, so that's pretty cool.
How did you find out about them? What's your experience of the show?
I don't remember. I think I watched the Game Grumps play some Dungeons & Dragons and decided that it would be a good idea to see what it was all about. And then somebody pointed out Critical Role. I started watching some of the first campaign. I'm still working my way through that one. And now we're watching the new one every week, which is great.
So you heard about Dungeons & Dragons, and your way to find out more about it was Critical Role, or did you play before?
We played a little bit before. I think we did a sample or two, yeah.
Come to the microphone. And describe the cosplay you are wearing right now, which is absolutely not sitting in a bag at the moment.
No, it's not. It's definitely not sitting at home or ready to be worn, because I'm doing Jester.
I love Jester.
Yeah, same. I love Jester so much. So because of the blue paint, I decided to just go full day tomorrow when the Castle Critical Role is actually going to be here and they're going to do this panel. I thought it was more worth it to wait. And today, just to enjoy the day, and tomorrow, just do the whole thing.
How about you?
I decided to do Caleb because I reckon I could do that one, pull that one off, a bit better than the rest of the other ones.
Yeah.
And I really like the character and simple enough so I can wear it all the days.
So do you play D&D together?
Yes.
He's our DM.
Tell us about your campaign a bit.
They recently just fought some scarecrows in a forest.
Scarecrows, it's nice. It's very seasonal we are.
Yes,
in October.
Yes.
There's no way this will be released in October, but...
Scarecrows fit well with what I was doing with the story, and also what it's Halloween, so it works quite well as well.
I hear people talking on the internet saying that Matthew Mercer's performance stressed out game masters because they feel like they need to
be Matt Mercer
to live up. Did he inspire you? Does he scare you with his performance?
I'd been DMing slightly before I watched it, my style is very much improvisational, so I love watching him and how he works, but I'm not put off by it.
He does do a lot of not homebrew, but also home rules as well. So, I mean, we can look to him for inspiration or say, oh, Matt does that. Cool, you don't want to do that? Cool, that's fine. But, like, bring it up so we have more angles on how we'd like to play the game. But we don't copy anything anyway, so...
Do you play other games besides D&D?
We've done some Starfinder, but I think that one's dying out again.
Yeah, we're doing some Starfinder. We've done some Vampire the Masquerade. I did a bit of Star Wars Rebellion.
You died.
I died. I've done a lot of the Warhammer 40k RPGs, die a lot in those as well. I tend to die a lot when I play the game.
That's the way it should be, I think, personally. What about you?
I usually just play with them. They're the ones that introduced me both to Critical Role and Dungeons & Dragons. I started watching Critical Role first, and then after that I was like, I want to play this too. And so...
And she is true Jester in real life. So.
I mean, I really do enjoy playing Dungeons & Dragons together. I think it's a really good way to... I don't know, it's a really cool way to meet up with friends and just stay together, you know, snacking, laughing together. I really like the atmosphere around it. And I know that it was demonized a lot before, but I think that it's coming... Critical Role is helping a lot to normalize it again.
I think we've come a long way
from...
There's actually a game called Satanic Panic by a gentleman called Jim McClure, and that's a role-playing game where you play... In the 80s, you play a government agency, and the idea is that all the things bad told about Dungeons & Dragons in the 80s were true. Kids are really possessed and summon demons.
Yeah.
So you place this government secret agency, which goes into the basements in the suburbs to stop kids
from playing Dungeons & Dragons.
And being possessed and containing the breach
really
in reality.
Sounds really fun.
So I recommend to check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
Anything you three has to add to critters all around the world, in London or here at MCM Comic Con?
Stay awesome, keep making art.
Yeah, we enjoy the fan art very much, a lot.
Yeah, just keep going, boost the hobby, it makes it more popular. Like to see more people doing it.
Yeah, that's it.
Please meet Kane Hodder, American actor and stuntman, best known for portraying Jason Voorhees in 4 movies.
I was wondering, over the last decades, are there any productions, directors or writers in horror which you find especially interesting?
Sure. I mean, I was very happy to do a movie called The Devil's Rejects with Rob Zombie because I was always a fan of his music. And then when he started making films, I thought he had an interesting way of making a story come to life. So I was very happy to work with him. There's been several movies that come to mind that I was really happy to work with the director in particular. There was one called Monster with Charlize Theron. I was a stunt coordinator on it, and I played the cop that arrested Charlize at the end of the movie. But that was directed by Patty Jenkins, who went on to direct Wonder Woman. So I knew she had the capability of doing big things just working with her on Monster. So it's nice when you can appreciate someone's talents and then they move on and do something huge. So
my knowledge of Critical Role, it comes short because I don't recognize your character. They ring a bell, but I'm a sideline Critical Role fan. I love the community. I love all the art. I fell off the bandwagon of season 2, and I never watched season 1. So, but your character looks so exciting. Tell me who they are.
We are Lord and Lady Briarwood, villains from campaign 1, tied to Percy's backstory. We were the one that killed his family.
Any regrets?
Likely. No, not at all. And we are actually coming back after they think they've defeated us.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you ruined it.
No.
Not at all. It's really nice.
Are you from London?
No.
We're from Switzerland.
Nice.
We flew here, so just for Critters.
Is it your first time at MCM Comic Con?
For me, it's the second time.
It's my first time, and I never was on a plane before, so I was really, really nervous about it, but I'm here.
Yeah, you would have to make a few changes if you wanted to come with the Eurostar. What do you like so much about those villains?
Everything.
So
many things. Is it the look? Is it what they do?
The thing is, I love how they became villains. They weren't good people to begin with, but they're so in love. And Delilah, my character, is ready to do anything to get Silas back. She lost him. Matt told everyone about that. After they finished campaign 1, I think he was sick, and she made a deal with someone who shows up at the last arc, the hugest villain to be uncovered. She didn't know who he was at first, but the two of them, they just do all those things for each other. They don't care if the world burns as long as they're together, and I love that about them because they're not purely evil, but they have a reason, and it's really... Matt did it so well, and it makes me so happy. Also, they're hot. They're really hot. That's a plus, too.
Bonus side effect.
Yeah, really nice side effect.
So did Critical Role brought you to the hobby of tabletop role-playing games, or were you playing before?
I was playing before, yeah. I'm playing for over 4 years now, and I started watching Critical Role 3 years back. Means I was there for all the clusterfuck that happened in campaign 1, watching it live at 3 a.m. in the morning, because they didn't have a rebroadcast back then. But it was really nice. I loved it so much. And
this lady brought me into Dungeons & Dragons. So she is our DM. And yeah.
The Dungeon Master.
I see at your dental things that you found a way to bring back your lover. Yeah. I was wondering if you were playing other games like Vampire the Masquerade, for instance.
I haven't played it yet. I've been playing Dread after seeing Will Wheaton play it.
I had my first game a couple of weeks ago.
Really oh, nice. Cool. He was the last one to die, actually. They shot each other at the ending. I was DMing it. I was not playing it. And we're playing a campaign on... It's a self-made system of a friend of mine. And we did a short campaign together, actually, as players. Yeah. A mecha mecha system my DM came up with. It was really fun.
What did you play in Dread?
You?
I was a little Scandinavian boy, and it was really f***ed up.
Yeah.
It was a f***ed up story.
Yeah, I took inspiration from King of Thorns. It's a manga, it's really nice. And they have this thing called Medusa Syndrome, where the people turn to stone. And they were affected with it, but had the chance, they were picked specifically to be frozen up and maybe healed afterwards, but they wake up and everything's gone to shit. It was really nice. They did such a great job. The first person died 5 hours in because he's really good at Jenga.
Yeah.
I had the issue with my players. They were afraid they would be very bad at Jenga and be killed very fast. And actually, I replayed the first movie, mm-hmm. Friday the 13th.
Ooh, nice.
But it would have been the most ridiculous movie because they kept going and coming back alone from places, yeah. But pulling Jenga successfully. So it would have been a very long movie with a lot of fake outs and no actual kills.
We had this moment where they were split, two groups, and I was switching between them. And each time a group was, it was their turn to draw, they were like, fuck, it's gonna fall, it looks so unstable. And then I switched back to the other group and they were like, okay, good, we're safe. But yeah, 5 hours in, first character died because of a heroic sacrifice. He pushed the tower but herself.
Yeah.
It was really, really nice.
Is it going to be the first time you see the crew in person?
Yes.
If we see them, yes, it's going to be the first time.
Yes. Of course you will see them. You don't think you will be able to attend the panel?
I don't know.
Might be a long line.
Yeah, maybe. But I think there's enough space for everyone.
Yeah, I hope so. Crossing fingers.
Yes.
Anything to add to Critters in London, in Europe and across the world?
It's a lovely community. They're so welcoming. I'm really happy because I used to be alone 3 years ago, and I'm so happy everyone, especially the German part, is joining now, and they're all playing D&D together, and it's the greatest thing ever, really. I'm really grateful Critical Role brought D&D to people, because there are a lot of other really amazing streams, like High Rollers, but they kind of brought it to the public. And I'm really grateful for that because I got to meet so many great characters thanks to people now playing and picking me as a DM for one-shots or actual campaigns. Yeah.
I'm just new to the Critter family or Critical fandoms.
You're new, but look at you. I mean, you got this amazing costume. You look super sharp.
Yeah.
Fun fact, it was a joke at first. He didn't want to do it. During our Dread session, after saying no to this costume, put in some fangs and went like, who am I? And I almost started crying because I thought he's actually going to do it. And he was like, no, it's a joke, I'm sorry. And about 3 months later, he was like, hey, you know what? I'm doing it. I was like, oh, my dreams are coming true.
What are your names? So I put them in the show notes.
Okay. My name is Tada Cosplay and I'm Silas Briarwood.
My name is Nor Frosh and I'm Delilah Briarwood.
Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. All those things I used to be, the feelings I had before I went on. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. It's an empty space, it's dead weight, like I've grown a new head in the old one's place. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. All those things I used to be, the feelings I had before I went on. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. A different person, a soldier's orders. My mind and world, they all used to be. Don't put me in a crowded room, for death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. All those those things I used to be, the feelings I had before I went numb. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. Not so innocent, not so sweet. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me. Death has taken its toll on me.
So, where have I... Ooh.
It's fine.
Yeah. I woke up very early this morning to find a empty hall. Who do I have the pleasure of talking to right now?
My name is Sina. In the internet community, I'm also known as Eggmarine Cosplay. And today, I am cosplaying as Keyleth from Critical Role.
So, you cosplay a number of characters, or not only Critical Role?
I do cosplay a number of characters. I've been cosplaying for almost 15 years, to be honest. I've done two Critical Role costumes in the past. Kiki is not my main costume. I'm actually more of a Vex'ahlia type of girl. I'm going to wear her tomorrow.
I was impressed. Not only you've got an amazing costume and other cosplayers got amazing costumes, but I saw that many cosplayers had different costumes for different days.
Yes, that's what we usually do. I mean, if you really love a show, you can wear the same costume the whole convention weekend long. But to make it a bit more interesting for myself and to challenge myself, makeup and wig and costume-wise, I wear different characters each day. Yes.
So, were you introduced to Critical Role?
I was actually introduced through a very good friend of mine. She talked about it all the time. She was like, you know, there's this amazing show about Dungeons & Dragons. It's a podcast, and there are many voice actors you know that are playing together. You should maybe give it a shot. And it actually took me quite some time to warm up with it. But at a certain point, I was so hooked, I couldn't stop watching. And now I'm the biggest fan.
Did you play Dungeons & Dragons at the time?
At the time, I didn't. I do now, though. I'm one of the people who started playing D&D because of Critical Role.
There's so many of you, and that's so exciting.
Yes.
So what do you play?
I have three characters, but my favorite character to play is a bard.
Or did you find a table? Because I'm a bit older than you. I mean, I started role-playing game with Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And I got the Star Wars role-playing game book. And I think it took me a couple years before I was able to find players and a game master. Because that was weird, and there was no video, no show like Critical Role. So how did you find other players or game masters and this sort of things?
I actually found other players through Critical Role as well. Many of my friends watch the show as well. So we all became interested in D&D at the same time. And now we have a group of friends and we usually play together. Sometimes people come in from the outside. Sometimes we play with different groups. But it's usually a group of people and we started playing together. So we're still learning and we're still very new to gaming. But yeah, it's been a process we're going through together.
Are you from the United Kingdom?
I'm from Germany, actually.
Germany,
yes,
nice.
Yes, I am.
It's funny because I think the first critter... Well, not the first, but I made an episode with a critter from Austria. We visited London.
Oh, wow, yes.
This morning, I met someone from Denmark. Then I got people from Switzerland.
Yes.
Well, it's not exactly the Germanic world, but but sort of. It's interesting to see people from... the continent getting into this thing. Did you hear about German games like The Dark Eye?
I know it. I have not played it, though, but I know that it exists. And many of my friends who tabletop game before Critical Role and before D&D, well, they used to play Das Schwarze Auge, what it is in German, The Black Eye.
Have you played or are you curious about other games besides Dungeons & Dragons?
I love tabletop games, actually, and board games. I'm a very big fan. I just love it. It's such a nice way to spend your time. There are other games I play.
Other role-playing games specifically?
Other role-playing games? Not specific, no. Not that I can think of. At the moment, I'm only playing Dungeons & Dragons, yeah.
Well, there's plenty to do already.
It is plenty to do. You have so many rules to recognize. And the first time somebody showed me one of these character sheets, I was completely overwhelmed. I was like, what the heck is going on? How am I supposed to understand how this works? So it's a real process. There are many different rules, many different spells. So yeah, it's a process to learn everything.
Sometimes I'm afraid I sound a bit slightly negative about that, but I think Dungeons & Dragons is a great game, and a lot of people are introduced to role-playing games through Dungeons & Dragons because it's so famous and Critical Role, etc.
Yeah.
But to some point, I'm concerned that going along what you're saying is that because Dungeons & Dragons is to that level of complexity, it might might scare players to move to other games, because other games might be actually much quicker and simpler to get into, because they're for shorter games or they just concentrate on something slightly different.
Well, could you recommend something?
It's a very special one, but the previous couple I was interviewed played a game called Dread.
Okay.
Which Matthew Mercer played with Satine Phoenix and Tally Sin and with a for Geek and Sundry. So you play with a Jenga tower. So you don't roll dash, you pull Jenga and it's a horror story. And you get stressed as the Jenga tower becomes more wobbly.
It sounds amazing.
So that's like the complete end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
With the Jenga tower, and not something common, there's another game more recent called Starcrossed.
Okay.
It's a two-player game.
Okay.
And you make up each a character.
Yeah.
And the two characters are in a doomed love relationship or romantic of some kind. Can be anything. Could be a spy from the KGB and a spy from the CIA. You make it up. It can be someone in Poudlard from Gryffindor and the other one is Slytherin. And you pull the Jenga, and if the tower falls. The one which makes the tower fall is the one who has to act upon his romantic interest. It doesn't have to be overly.
Yeah.
It can be just a gesture. You know, it could be a Jane Austen thing, and it's just and I hold her hand. And then you got loads of stuff. You got Star Wars. You could play in Star Trek. You could play Vampire the Masquerade if you want something different.
Yeah.
And there are many other games which you can hear of in my shows.
Amazing.
Self-promotion. Great. Where can people find you?
My nickname on Twitter is X Eggmarine X. Oh yeah, it's a bit difficult to spell, but you will find me.
One last thing to add to Critters in Germany, in Europe, here in the UK, London and across the world.
I think it's absolutely amazing how this show has brought so many creative people together. So many. I think it's a show that sort of, you know, makes you want to cross borders to meet other people, which makes you want to open up to meet new people. It's great. It's amazing. And I cannot wait to meet everyone tomorrow at the cosplay meetup.
Same for me. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sina.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Zach Callison is an American actor, singer, songwriter, and voice actor. This includes voicing the titular character of Steven Universe.
I thought it was very exciting that you participated to the stream of Many Eyes.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if there was a secret club of Dungeons & Dragons players in the entertainment industry.
You know, I'm actually really new to it, but yeah, it's this growing little cult of D&D players. They're like, oh, you play D&D? And you find out, and then you end up at the Stream of Many Eyes with all of us. It's like homecoming for all these Dungeons & Dragons players. But Nate Wants to Battle was the one who got me into that and brought me into the fold for Dark and Dicey. And just being on the stage with all that cool set design and doing our shenanigans was really fun. They put us in charge of a really important item that we were supposed to pass on to another campaign. And we like completely bungled it because we're an anti-hero campaign and we get greedy and do dumb things. And it was really fun to do that on like a national live broadcast stage.
This is Garnet, back together. And I'm never going down at the hands of the likes of you, because I'm so much better. And every part of me is saying go get her. The two of us ain't gonna follow your rules. Come at me without any of your fancy tools. Let's go, just me and you. Let's go, just one on two. Go ahead and try to hit me if you're able. Can't you see that my relationship is stable? I can see you hate the way we intermingle, but I think you're just mad cause you're single. But you're not gonna stop what we made together. We are gonna stay like this forever. If you break us apart, we'll just come back newer, and we'll always be twice the gem that you were. I am an 8 of love. Stop me, then you need to think again. Because I am a feeling, and I will never end, and I I won't let you hurt my planet. I won't let you hurt my friends. Go ahead and try to hit me if you're able. Can't you see that my relationship is stable? I know you think I'm not something you're afraid of, 'cause you think that you see what I'm made of. But I am even more than the two of them. Everything they care about is what I am. I am their fury, I am their patience, I am a conversation. I am an aid.
Oh, no, I don't need interviewing.
I need interviews. Can you introduce you again to...
My name's Greg. We first met at the Maze Arcana meetup in London a couple of months ago, and I'm back here at MCM London.
That was nice. It was very... we had a lot of time to spend with Ruti and Sati, and that was perfect.
So good. So good. I wish they were able to do something a little bit more intimate with the Critical Role crowd, but yeah, you just look at them now, right? They are so, so in demand.
I'm telling everyone to cross fingers. I'm still hoping to be able to ask some question. Maybe one of those small press conferences. We were just talking about those 10-minute format.
Anything I can do to make that happen, I will make it happen if I can.
I tried to prepare a list of questions for each member of the cast because I had no clue. I was sent a list of guests and told, maybe you can interview some of those people. And I was like, okay, well, here's a list of people. But I don't know if, you know, I'm clueless, so I didn't know if I would have 10 minutes alone with them, 15, 30. At the end of the day, I got enough questions for an hour with each of them, which obviously not going to happen.
You're just going to make sure you order them by importance, right?
No, you know, you got to make it happen, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I lock them in a bathroom or something like that.
Yeah, I think that might be a bit more a challenge here.
So what are you doing here today?
Today, I've come primarily to come see the comics. Friday is always my comics day. So I get up, go and check all the artists that are here. Kit is here. So you might have seen her from the Vox Machina stuff.
Oh.
It's perfect.
She's got a
yeah,
booth
she's,
here?
She's got a stand. She's just one of these rows over.
I might try to interview her.
I guarantee she'd love that.
Yeah. I would love to interview. I'm always super happy to interview anyone. There's so many interesting people. There's amazing people. Chris Claremont. Any comic artist I could name, they're here today.
It's why I spend the entire Friday.
So are you going to book signings and drawings?
Yeah, and I've also got a sketchbook with me, so I try and get a couple of things. But normally the problem is making sure I can carry everything at the end of the day. Yeah. I tend to go a bit mad for comics and things like that.
Who are you especially hopeful to get a nice drawing from today?
So I definitely want to go and see Kate. She was one of the ones that were like, yes, I'm definitely going to see that. But I've met the guy who's drew the D&D comics for Rick and Morty crossover.
Oh,
so
nice.
So he's here as well. I've got a sketch from him. So it's a good start. But a lot of it is I'm exposing myself to people I don't see or know. So finding new stories to kind of feed off of.
Oh, it's nice. So you come here with an open mind.
Yep.
You're not going to line up in the Frank Whiteley line with a thousand people.
He's got enough fans. He doesn't need anything from me.
That's a good approach, I think.
There's a great stand at the other end of this row, which have got goblins. The goblins looking for their own promised land. They're trying to find somewhere the heroes don't keep killing them.
Is it just called Goblins?
Just Goblins. Goblins on a quest, basically. Their own story. They've got two volumes out, and every page is a different way of them completely screwing up their life.
That sounds like good inspiration.
I know, right?
To populate your dungeon.
Absolutely. You know, you absorb so much culture and media and stories from other good storytellers that it just makes everything you create better. Everyone's a little bit better because everyone's sharing.
That's something which is sometimes missed in the media about role-playing games and Dungeons & Dragons, is that it can be something which really opens you up to reading books, to watching shows, and not only consuming them, but engaging with them. You take things from them, you understand what they're about, and then you do something else based on them.
Yeah, I mean, as a DM, I'm always cribbing from other fantasy, you know, Lord of the Rings, obviously, big ones. You know, you find elves that end up being extremely long-lived or ruling councils, so you get politics. you get crafting, just a whole host of things. And by putting these into your world becomes richer, and that makes the gameplay more accessible. You know, it's instead of trying to imagine, you've kind of given them this world full of vitality and life, and now they can just live in it. And their game suddenly stops being this crunchy game of roll dice mechanics and is now a narrative-driven story in a wider world that they can weave their life through.
Any good idea or things you remember ripping off from something else? You know, like shamelessly, like you just almost copy-pasted it in and like nobody saw it or everybody noticed it.
So I'm a big one for action scenes. If my players can't think of something to say, it's like they rolled a 20, right? So you know it's going to be epic. But if they can't think of something, most recently a dual hand crossbow wielding rogue scored a natural 20 in a room full of people, and it was literally the gun carter scene from Equilibrium. The first shot takes out all of the lights. Suddenly flash, 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 two down, flash, flash, another two. You stand there, cape blowing in the wind. They're all down. The prize is yours.
Nice. Did the player recognize it?
They didn't, sadly.
It's better but than that's your...
But that was just like, this guy's just made an epic scene with no prompting. He is the best DM on the planet. No. I just have a really good memory for pop culture. Nice.
To be fair, Equilibrium borrowed, paid homage to Hong Kong movies, so yeah, it's just fair.
That's the thing, is everyone comes through these kind of layers of popular culture, and it gets dispersed more and more through genres that it was never intended to. As you say, Hong Kong cinema was a very niche action movie genre. Then Equilibrium brought it to big screen cinema, and now I'm using it at my D&D table, right?
The samurai R2 unit coming back.
Which, of course, the Star Wars movies were based off the Seven Samurai, you know.
The Hidden Castle,
yeah.
and Arthurian legends, and so many whatnots. I hope I don't sound like a gatekeeper. I'm trying to be the opposite, being a gate opener. Usher.
There's cool stuff this side.
So I'm asking to critters and D&D fans what they play besides Dungeons & Dragons.
Besides Dungeons and Dragons.
I was just talking to someone, and that's my little concern. I find quite a few people who play Dungeons and Dragons, and they only play that one, they tend to think that if they took on another game, it's going to be as a lengthy process to master that game, which I don't find is
no,
it's quite
I,
true.
I don't subscribe to that theory either.
So what would you recommend to a critter to try?
There is a huge world of non-fantasy RPG out there. Numenera, Star Wars D20, the new Star Wars other role-playing games.
Star Wars D20. Ah, I'm a West End game D6, sorry.
I'm old school, right?
Okay, I'm a gatekeeper.
I started with 3, so D20 system was an easy to migrate across.
You're old school, you started with 3.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting, it's becoming a very old hobby. So,
yeah,
so
I mean,
people
who
feel
so
old are actually quite young.
3 was early 90s?
I started role-playing game somewhat before D coming out.
Yeah, I mean, I lived in the south of Spain, so access to like English language things was quite difficult for me. So I didn't really get into the gaming hobby. I've always been a video gamer. So, you know, NES, that sort of thing. That was my thing at the beginning. But yeah, get out of fantasy. D&D is amazing because it gives you everything to play with.
And the truth is that you could spend your life playing just D&D and doing
and do you know
very
what?
Different
you
things.
Would be a very happy person.
Yeah. However.
However, if you want to try something very different, as say Numenera, Shadowrun is another great system.
Would be amazing to have Critical Role play Shadowrun.
Do you know what? I think I was close with Titan's Grave. Like, that's the closest to Shadowrun that D&D get. But, if Critical Role did Shadowrun, like, could you imagine Grog as a chromed out street samurai with, instead of a big hammer, he's got 2 katanas?
Or I am playing a hacker, you know.
Oh, he would destroy that role. That'd be amazing. But I'm a dice chucker. Like, I like the analog feel of throwing a dice and finding out what fate has got in store for me. So for Shadowrun, if you're a dice chucker, just wait until you do damage at a high level. You literally need 2 fists worth of D6.
Just like Star Wars D6 yeah, West End games.
Exactly the
That's
same.
That's a pleasure. Like people are like, the system is bad. You have to roll 20 D6 and count them. Uh-huh. And that's amazing.
Yeah, it's like, wait, that's a lot of sixes. I think that one wins.
I'm going to have to run to one of these press junkets.
It's a pleasure to see you again. I'm sure we'll run each other over the weekend.
Yeah, it would be great. Anything to add to Critters Across the World?
Just keep being so awesome. I've been here like 2 hours and I've met a dozen and they've all been great. I have to apologise to the cosplayer who was playing Keyleth, who I screamed at across the queue this morning. It was like, Keyleth, you're amazing!
I look forward to running into you again later this weekend. Have a lovely weekend.
And you, buddy.
Mononia is an American actor and musician. His voiceover work includes characters in many dubbed Japanese anime shows, such as Edward Elric from the Fullmetal Alchemist series. He also plays James T. Kirk in the web series Star Trek Continues.
I heard that when you took on the mantle of Fullmetal Alchemist, there were a lot of pressure from an established fandom. And then you took on the mantle of Captain Kirk also. And
oh, I love you. I love you for bringing up Star Trek right now. Thank you.
I'm just wondering, talking about Star Trek and you see Star Wars, what are the positive and negative of dealing of a very passionate and established fandom?
You know, there are positive and negative elements in everything, just about. Unfortunately, there are people in the world who are, for whatever reason, they're lonely or they're sad or they feel kind of unimportant, and they've somehow decided that the way to establish themselves is to talk negatively about things or to trash things or to attack people. It's really sad, especially in something like a fandom where something like Star Wars or Star Trek have so many people that love it, and it has inspired them in so many good ways. But you can take just about any good thing, you know what I mean, and turn it into something unfortunate or negative. I don't pay much attention. I try not to pay much attention to the negativity. When I started Star Trek Continues, which is a live-action web series that I started 5 years ago, it was for one reason alone, and that was because when I was this little boy's age right here, I fell in love with that show, and I dreamed of getting to be a part of Star Trek somehow, some way. So 5 years ago, I decided, you know what? I'm going to rebuild all the sets, and I'm going to play Captain Kirk just one time and make a Star Trek episode the way I remembered the original series episodes. And we did it, and the fans really enjoyed it. So now, 5 years later, we've got over 10 million viewers, and we've won dozens of awards, and it's been very, very well received. We've made 11 full-length episodes, and I don't pay much attention to the negative stuff because the good news is there's a lot of positive. There's always a lot more positive than there is negative, you know, and you just have to choose which one you're going to focus on. Are you going to focus on the 5 people that are talking negatively, or are you going to focus on the 1,000 people that are talking positively? You do not have enough time for me to tell you all of the positive interactions I've had. And you know what else, you guys? I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you this. I have never in 20 years of voice acting and probably 15 years of convention appearances, I have never had a negative fan experience in person. In person. Now, a lot of people are very empowered to be negative online, right? When they're, you know what I mean? When they're anonymous and they're shielded by their computer, they can be mean and hateful and make up lies and stories and cause all kinds of trouble because they have that anonymity and they feel powerful. But they come to conventions and they'll come up and ask you for an autograph. You know what I mean? It's really interesting. I've never had a negative fan experience at a convention. On the contrary, I've had so many positive experiences. I've had people who've lost family members. I've had people who've lost limbs in accidents or due to an illness, and Full Metal Alchemist got them through what would have been an otherwise unbearable experience. And I would have never imagined when I started this 15 or 20 years ago that I would ever have the privilege to be a part of something that would mean so much to people at difficult times in their lives. You know, when you start it, you're like, oh, I'm doing a voice for an animated show. How cool. But then you don't realize that there are people out there and they discover these anime series at important moments in their lives, at crossroads in their lives many times. And very much the same way I discovered Star Trek. You know, so to get the privilege to be a part of anime series and video games that have really encouraged and inspired people in different ways has been really the great privilege of my career.
We got the people of Critical Role coming this weekend. Some of them did work for Funimation.
Oh, yeah. In fact, yeah, they're all great friends. Yuri and Tara and Sam and Liam and Taliesin.
My question is, do you play tabletop role-playing games like Dungeons & Dragons or Star Trek Adventures yourself?
You know what? I actually did a voice for Star Trek Online. But I don't play a lot of video games. It might scare you to know that the last video game I played was Donkey Kong Jr. And it was in an arcade. It wasn't even on home video system. I've gotten to play roles and voice roles in a lot of video games, but I don't play them much.
Those are offline. They are board gamey sort of thing around the table.
No, I've not done any of that.
Well, you should try.
I should in all my spare time. But yeah, there are people playing downstairs, the streaming guys downstairs. And I was supposed to play with them. And I told Emily, my helper, I'm like, oh, no. I shouldn't do this because I'll get killed in like 6 seconds because I am not a good video gamer. Am I out of time? Thank you guys. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
Mind introducing yourself to the listeners of the Rollies podcast, please?
My name is Talbot. I usually go by Bertie as a short name. So, yeah.
I see a lot of wonderful art, some of them related to some guests of the event.
Yeah, so a lot of the work is stuff from my own original stories, but there is a Caleb from Critical Role just hanging out because the crew are here this weekend, so I thought I'd bring some along.
What is your own series about?
So my own series is called Bajo Mano. It's a Spanish phrase for underhand. It's basically about a small town police station And it's kind of all the stuff that's going on behind the scenes. So any underhanded actions that are going on. There's like romance, drama, they solve mysteries, and it's quite a lot that happens in this series.
So your tabletop role player, was this series inspired by a role-playing game in any way?
It wasn't, but my new book, Rogue and Warrior, definitely is. So that one is all about a halfling and a half-orc that go on a quest to save a prince. And it's very much so based in a kind of D&D tabletop sort of world.
How did you find out about the hobby, Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing games?
First of all, it was through a group of friends. We used to play together in a room around a table, like proper traditional tabletop gaming. And then after that, I got introduced to things like the Adventure Zone and Critical Role and Harmon Quest as well. So it's kind of built from there, really. But it had a very humble beginning for me with just like some friends and some drinks and a bit of a laugh.
Do you still play at the moment?
I do. I still play at the moment. I'm playing 3 games of D&D 5th edition. I'm a little bit hooked. One game, I'm a goblin. Another one, I'm a halfling. And another one, I'm a human. So I'm kind of everywhere.
That's cool. Critical Role's got a very intense relationship with artists. There's so much fun art out there. What's your view on that? There's so many people making art for free and then sharing it. Does Critical Role as a community help to be seen as an artist, you think, online?
I think the crew behind Critical Role, like the artists and the voice actors, the people that play in Critical Role, I think they are such lovely people. They're always really happy to see fan art. And I've had conversations with Liam O'Brien, for example, over my Caleb picture. It's just such a friendly environment. I have heard that sometimes the fan community can be a bit possessive of the way the characters are drawn, like if you draw them slightly wrong or there'll be an uprising against you. But from my point of view, I think everyone's been really nice and lovely so far, and I've received a lot of love for the work that I've done. So I'm seeing the nice side of the community at the moment.
I'm going to get out of your way because I'm in the way of all the people who want to purchase your lovely heart. First, where can people find you? And second, what would you have to say to close to fans of D&D and people attending MCM Comic Con?
You can find me on Instagram. I'm on there as It's Talbot. And I'm also on Twitter as Tally Bertram. And to people at MCM that are into D&D or looking to get into it, I would say, as long as you're with friends, don't worry about being nervous and don't worry about getting it wrong. Everyone grows and learns. And as long as you're having a laugh, that's the main thing.
This episode included Death Has Taken Its Toll on Me by Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And of course, Solta or Frango, or theme song by Bonded Oro. You can download those songs on the Free Music Archive. This episode also included several covers, Stronger Than You from Steven Universe by Liz Robinette, the Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood 4th opening period, covered in English by Caleb Isles, and the Full Metal Alchemist opening for Non-Brotherhood, Rewrite, covered in English by Darling Thieves. Thank you so much to the three of them, cover artists, Liz, Darling Thieves, and Caleb, were contacted, and they all allowed me to include their cool covers to this episode, and I'm super thankful. Please go check the description of this episode. You will find links to each of them, their social media platform, their Patreon, and their YouTube channel, where you can listen to those songs again and again. And again, thank you so much to the three of you. It's awesome, the work you're doing, and to allow me to use it. Our logo is designed by Roland Kunz. And if you like the logo, or maybe if you've seen other art he's made for the Rollist podcast, we reopened the store on TeePublic this time. And so you can have mugs, t-shirts, apparel, baseball t-shirts, even cushions if you want, and whatnot. You can pick the color. I already put the logo, a Judge Dredd art, one with Cthulhu, which is quite cute, and one with what the latest was with... Why did I upload it? It was... Oh, it's a very cool Nosferatu, so a vampire lurking and eating rats in the sewer. So those three are really cool. I'm going to upload more. I'm going to upload one Baron Munchausen, one which is Paranoia with a computer friend. Go check it out. And if you like the show, you want to support it and fly its color, it's a win-win because really these are quite cool t-shirts, I find. And maybe you can sport those t-shirts at the next London Drinks and Dies, which will take place at Ben Moon Cafe again on the first Wednesday of the month. The next one is on June the 5th. And a special dedicace to the people listening to this attending the UK Games Expo. Sadly, I'm not joining the fun this year. No expo for me. I'm a bit sad, especially now that I see all the tweets and all the stuff on social media about people who are attending. I'm sad I won't meet them there this year. You cannot do everything all the time. The next episode should come quite soon, and it will be a bonus recording of the full Critical Role panel on Saturday. There's been two panels because the Saturday one was so full with people, and that we record a second one on Sunday. And then we'll have the part two of this episode with more critters telling about their fandom and their practice of the hobby. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, please write a review on iTunes. I didn't have any new review this month, so yeah, I won't be reading a new one, so a long announcement. Thank you, see you next month, and in the meantime, have good games! Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Holy! 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 Solta o frango e vem com a gente. Nós é tipo bem Jesus, todo mundo a gente ama. Ainda mais se for gatinha, rola até levar pra cama. A gente topa tudo, sapatão e bigodudo. Na hora do piriri, cai em mim outra vesti. Vai, Batuque! Holy! Holy! Holy, solta o frango e vem com a gente. Holy, 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 solta o frango e vem com a gente. Here we see the cast of Critical Role practicing their proper British etiquette for their first trip to London. Ah, there we go. Oh, pinky's up now. Masterful. Critical Role at MCM London, October 27th and 28th. More information to come. Critical Role's coming to MCM London! Ah!